Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back at Firm Foundation again. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And as you're turning there, I have to just share a little something with you. It was a little bittersweet week this week. I got a call on Tuesday, or at least I got a text from a friend of mine, Richard Pash, one of the Rock of Ages preachers that we used for many years in the prison. Told me that Brother Don Lewis was in the hospital with COVID. And said he was doing better. And then on Wednesday morning, I got a call from my brother and said he was going to be with the Lord. And he was one of those faithful guys, you know, that he came down the first time we had a Rock of Ages ministry. Came to all the preaching, came to all the revivals, came to all the discipleship. Never missed a time. But there's a funny story that goes around Don Lewis, and we'll laugh about it in heaven one day. But the first day they showed up, we have to get their names and date of birth just to run a BCI check, criminal investigation. And his comes back, Donald Lewis, date of birth, same as this guy, who had been doing armed robberies throughout the state of Florida and Georgia. So I said, I can't let you in just yet. And so all the other guys said, no, I'm saying, we'll vouch for him. It's not him. Right? I said, I still got to go through all the procedures. So I talked to the warden and I said, here's what the thing is. He goes, well, you can fingerprint him. And the fingerprints are nice, it's all electronic and everything, but I said, I really don't want to fingerprint the guy. I said, you know, I kind of believe what the other guys are saying, but what I'll do is I'll call Florida, and I'll talk to the warden down there and see what's going on. So I talked to the guy down there, and he not only had armed robberies, he had a murder down there as well. And so I talked to the guy, I'm talking to the warden at Rayford, that's up in North Florida, and I said, I'm calling about a Donald Lewis, date of birth, such and such. He goes, yep, we got Donald Lewis. He goes, he's on death row. I said, well, really? I said, well, can you send me some information about him? Because I got a Don Lewis up here ready to come in for Rock of Ages Preacher Ministry. I don't think it's the same Don Lewis you got. So he sends me the picture, his mugshot, all his criminal record, and he faxes it to me. I put it all together. So I call it, I get the guy, and I says, come on here, Don. I says, here's your Donald Lewis from down in Florida. I said, so you can keep that as a little souvenir, you know, to know that you're not that Don Lewis. I said, but you can always use those nice preaching things. Say, you were once on death row, and you were released. I said, and by the way, I said, not just a souvenir. I said, you might want to keep that in your glove box. So if you're ever in Florida or Georgia, and a state trooper says, excuse me, sir, you mind stepping out of your car? You'll know, you can say, I'm not that Don Lewis. So, but Don Lewis is with the Lord now. He's got his first Sunday morning in heaven, so praise the Lord. And so the preaching today from Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, and I'll read that verse in a minute. You know, I was trying to say, I'm going to bring some kind of evangelistic preaching message coming to Firm Foundation, but the Lord keeps bringing me back to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And I believe the reason the Lord did that is because your pastor is a 2 Timothy 2:2 kind of guy. And what I mean by that is I look around Firm Foundation and I see teachers and I see evangelists and I see preachers. And there's some churches out there that don't even have a preacher that backs up the pastor. Okay, but you got a pastor here who's concerned about training his folks. And I believe that's the reason God brought me back to this. So let's read this verse and have a word of prayer. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and time. We thank you for your word, Lord. As we look into your book now, I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would be our guide and our teacher today. I can't do this without your help, Lord. So open the hearts and the ears of the folks in here and do a great work today. We turn this time now over to you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Ezra prepared his heart. And for a teacher or an evangelist, a preacher, whatever God has called you to do, for you to be ready to do those ministries, you have to, number one, prepare your heart. Over in 1 Samuel 7:3, the Bible says this, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. You see, serving the Lord and turning yourself over to Him requires a couple of things. You've got to give yourself to the Lord wholly, fully. You've got to put away some idols. In America, we are full of idols. And anything that comes before the Lord is an idol. And I mean in any shape or form whatsoever. If God is usurped by that idol, it's an idol. In the United States, we've got many idols. We have money. We have pride. We have sports. We get all kinds of stuff out there that are idols. And they want your time and your attention. And your attention ought to be going to the Lord. Also, 1 Chronicles 29:18 says this. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare thine heart unto thee. Prepare thine heart unto thee. Unto who? Unto the Lord. Job 11:13. If thou prepare thine heart, stretch out thine hands toward him. Again, preparing of the heart. And one more place I want to look for preparing the heart is Psalm 10:17. Says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. You need God's help to prepare your heart. You can't do it in your flesh. You can't do it yourself. You need God's help in that. Now, the reason I took those four verses right there with the word prepare or prepared that go along with our text today is because it's the same Hebrew word as the prepared that we see right here that Ezra did. Same Hebrew word. You know what? Prepare yourself for this one. And if you want to get on board and do this, listen to what that word means. It gave us a whole bunch of definitions. To be erect. To set up. Confirm. Direct. Be fitted. Fix. Ordain. Remember, ordain is not, ordination is not necessarily just sitting before a bunch of guys on a board asking a bunch of theological questions. Ordain is being set up by God for a ministry. And that's what this means here, right in this here. Frame, make provision, be ready. Establish, set fast, and set forth. Are you ready for all those things? Well, if you want to be a teacher or a preacher or an evangelist, or be used of God anyway, evangelism out on the street just talking to folks, then you better be ready for all those things. If you ask God to prepare your heart, that's what you ought to expect right there. And God's going to do that for you. Secondly, what Ezra did, and remember, when he prepared his heart, look what the scripture says. Ezra had prepared his heart. And there are three things that he prepares his heart to do. Seek the law of the Lord. Do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes of judgments, or the word of God. So secondly, was to seek the law of the Lord. If you're going to be in one of those ministries, you're going to have to seek the law of the Lord. And that means continually. You're going to always have to be. Pastor, you ever stop studying the Bible? Never reach that goal yet where you're all done? Yeah, you know everything about the book, right? Me neither. And I'm sure Scott will tell you the same thing. Stephen will tell you the same thing. Joel will tell you the same thing. Everybody will tell you the same thing. I'm not there yet. And you never will be. You won't know all about this book till you get to heaven. Okay. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a prayer. You're asking God to open my eyes, my understanding, my discernment, so I can look in your book and you'll teach me things. You can go off to Bible school, Bible Institute, Bible college, doesn't matter. God is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. That's where you learn from. You ask God to do that. Open thou mine eyes. John 5:39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That word, I'm not even going to look at the Greek word for search. The Scandinavian word for search is ransack. Sound familiar? It's where we get our English word ransack. So if you want to search the scriptures, you don't just read a couple of things here and say, oh, that was nice. Read a couple of things. You've got to dig in. Okay, you've got to ransack. You got to ransack the scriptures. You got to go in there and do cross-referencing, word studies over and over again, and it takes time. Okay, Jesus says, search the scriptures. And when he used that word search, he didn't mean just flippantly or casually read the scriptures. He meant digging them, search them, study them. Because if you're gonna teach, preach, evangelize, whatever it is, you've got to know this book. Okay, and you got to get to know this book. You're going to keep on getting to know this book. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's a whole lot of cults out there, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and the Roman Catholic Church, who make their own doctrines. They may study the book, but they don't rightly divide that book. They don't find out what's truth, how this goes with this. They don't set up. Where do cults come from? Cults come from somebody taking a verse and making their own doctrine around it. Okay, they don't cross-reference things. Bible's its own best reference book, right? So when we cross-reference stuff, as we're studying the scriptures, as we're searching them, as we're ransacking the scriptures, or as we're studying, as 2 Timothy says, to show ourselves approved unto God, we have to really dig in. Cross-reference. You always read a verse, how? Do you take one verse? No, you read it in context. I always like to read a verse, even if it's like Ezra 7:10. Read a couple of verses before, read a couple of verses after it. And take it in context. Keep it in its context. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. You know what that word read means in Hebrew? Same thing it means in English. Read. Read the book. Okay, open up the book and read it. We got good English Bibles in front of us, right? Read them. Hey, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Thirdly, be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Okay, James chapter 1, 22 through 24 says this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a doer of the word, and a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The Bible will tell you about yourself. What's Hebrews 4:12? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of thoughts and intents, and of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It goes right in you, and it tells you about yourself. So when you look in the Word and you walk away, say, "Oh, I don't want to hear that today. I'm not ready for that." And you're like a man beholding himself in the glass. He walks away, forgets what he is, who he is, what he looks like, and that's not what God wants us to do. Over in Romans 2:13, the Bible also says this, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And that's why the Ten Commandments are such a great witnessing tool. Because you get down there, you're not going to, have other gods before the Lord God of the universe, not going to have graven images, not going to bow down to them. You're not going to covet, you're not going to lie, you're not going to steal, kill, commit adultery, all these things. And you only get to the second one, and the person's already squirming because they're starting to think about, yeah, I've done those things, a little bit of this, whatever. And so that's why just hearing the law doesn't justify anybody. You got to do the law. To the Jews, that was a pretty tough thing because they had the law. 603 laws plus the Ten Commandments, about 613 laws. And yet, you didn't have to get any farther than the Ten Commandments. And they thought that they could keep the law. And if they kept the law, they'd be justified with God. Then you're a hypocrite going along your way. Like the parable of the publican and the Pharisee in Luke 18. Pharisee comes out and says, I'm this. And I'm not like that guy. Okay? All that guy said was, Lord, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. He went down, realized he couldn't keep the law, and threw himself upon the mercy of God. And God is merciful. I know he probably won't want me to share this, but last Monday, you know, we talk about a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I go out with Scott on Mondays. We're down here in Woonsocket. Well, last Monday, coming out from World War II Park, and we run across this one guy, give him a Bible tract, talk to him, and the guy goes to us, because there's a homeless guy over there. Somebody stole his coat at the shelter. He's in a blanket. It was cold Monday. Come on, we see the guy, and he's going that way. We didn't get a chance to talk to him. I said, let's go use the restroom at Burger King. Go across the street. Scott's buying some food. Come out. He's down to the Castle Luncheonette. We walk down there. Scott gives him that food we bought, and he says, you stay here. Don't move it. We finished up where we were. Came back around. Said, I got a hoodie, a nice warm hoodie with a, you know, in my car. Drove down around and gave that to the gentleman. That's a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Okay? To take a jacket and give it to a guy who really needed it. The guy was in bad shape and it was cold. So be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. You can come out to church week in, week out. We've all, folks that do that, come here to church every week. Not just here, Plainville Baptist, Fitchville Baptist, Grace Baptist, Solid Rock Bible Baptist, all these places. And folks will come in week in and week out and hear that word. They want to hear that. They want to come to this, hear this, Sunday school, this and that. And they get home, put the Bible on the shelf. Be good hearers of the word. It's a little more difficult to be a doer of the word. Because that means you've got to carry out what you heard and what you learned. You've got to be the doer. Finally, this morning, don't make teaching a chore. Make it a necessity. Okay, don't make teaching a chore. Make it a necessity. I got it in my Bible here. There's a statement from a preacher from years back. And this sounds like an excited guy who wants to preach the gospel, right? Look what he said. He said, if I had my choice next Sunday morning between raising a dead person from a grave and preaching the word of God, I would leave the dead person beneath the soil and stick with the old book that God has used to do all of his mighty works. Wow. That sounds like somebody who's excited. Teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible is not a chore. It's a necessity. It's something he gets out of bed every day and gets excited about doing. You know, I come here and preach. I'm excited about this. Come up in front of folks, Bible believers, and open the book and preach to you. I get excited about this. I could barely sleep last night. Although my wife might disagree with that. Probably says you snored awful loud. But no, I get excited about doing that. It's not a chore. Did you ever get the part where you say, oh, I got to teach Sunday school this week for the 7 to 10-year-olds? Don't make it a chore. Say, you know what? I get the privilege of talking to the kids this week and open up the Bible. It's not a chore. You know, over in Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, the Bible says this. Now, this didn't pertain to the priests of that time, because the priests of Malachi, when Malachi, you know, his book in Malachi was going after the priests. But right here in Malachi 2, verses 4 through 7, the Bible says this, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Okay, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. They weren't doing that at that time in Israel. And you see what? If you are a teacher, preacher, evangelist, you ought to be looking at that and say, you know what? God has commissioned me to do that, to keep the word in my mouth so I can share it with people, that I can be a messenger of the Lord of hosts. And it's something that I ought to be excited about. This book is the greatest piece of literature that has ever been written. Bestseller of all time. There's no book that's ever been written that outsold this book. So ought not we be excited. I don't know how anybody, you know, I ask my wife, I'll sit in my house sometimes, I'll read the Bible for hours when you add it all up from the start of the day to the next, right, to the end of that day, because there's no book I'd rather read. And you open it and you read it. I don't know how anybody can go home with a Bible in the house and watch Seinfeld or something like that, or even the news. You know, I don't know how you can go do that when you got this in the house. And you ought to get excited about reading this book. Don't make teaching a chore, make it a necessity. Over in Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 8:3, the Bible says, "And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live." So the food, the Bible's telling us, is not the most important thing you put in your mouth. You know, if you go without oxygen, you'll last a few minutes, then you'll die. Water, maybe a few days. Food, after 30 days, you start to break down a little bit. But I can't go 1 minute without thinking about this book, because it's how I live. I live on this. This is my very life force, is this book right here. I need it more than drink. I need it more than food. And I need it more than air. That's how important this book is to me. And that's what you, if you're a teacher of the word, if you have any kind of ministry, that's the attitude you ought to have about this book. And then finally, over in Job 23:12, I love this verse. I love this verse, Job 23:12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You put God's word up there more important than a necessary food. I know I said that was the last place, but I have to go to one more, because God's just leading me there. And we'll be through in a second here, folks. Bear with me. Psalm 138, verse 2. "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou," for God, "has magnified thy word above all thy name." That's where God puts his word. Okay, those are the very, you know, we call this the word of God, and it is, but it's the very words of God. Every single one of these words in this book is God-breathed, inspired. It's plenary, means it's complete. Doesn't need anything more. When John wiped his pen clean after he finished Revelation, it was done. But we get everything we need right here. Why would you need anything else? Okay, so if you do, I hope that you can just get a new passion for teaching and preaching and evangelizing from the Word of God. I'm excited about this. Okay, I hope that you get excited and stay excited with the greatest piece of literature that's ever been written in the history of mankind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and time. And thank you for your word. Lord, we know that you've taken this book and you've magnified it even above your name. Praise the Lord. So where are we as sinful human beings? Where are we? We ought to be here to lift your word up. Lord, if there's anybody in this building today, Lord, I would ask you to write upon their hearts now, if they are not saved, that you tell us in your book that we're all sinners. And that sin has a penalty. It's death, eternity, and separated from God in a lake of fire. Lord, I'd ask you to write that upon their hearts now, Lord. I also ask, Lord, you let them know that your son, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for their sins. And that if this very morning they called out to God, that you would save them. Now, Lord, if there's anyone here today and they would just come forth, see Pastor James, myself, Brother Scott, anybody in this church, Brian, anybody, Stephen that's here, and just come to talk to them about the Lord, Lord, so that today would be the day they knew your son. And then they could partake in the great ministries of evangelism and teaching and preaching. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, and we just turn the rest of this service now over to you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.